Look at the questions. Then listen to the second segment. Now you will hear the second segment.
Everyone feels anxious sometimes, but for some people, anxiety can be a debilitating and traumatic disorder. We discussed anxiety with Beth Cargill, head of Berkeley's Center for Mental Health. What is it, and how do we treat it? Tom Burnett has the story.
From a clinical standpoint, what is anxiety?
Anxiety is an emotional state we experience in anticipation of an upcoming threat, like a student about to take an important exam. Fear is an immediate fight or flight response to imminent danger.
My understanding is there's some brain science to differentiate between the two.
Yes, there's some differentiation at the neurological level. The amygdala, or the emotional center of the brain, is stimulated when we're afraid. When you're anxious, the cortical areas are activated. These areas of the brain are associated with conscious thought and communication.
So if anxiety is normal, at what point does it become a disorder?
With anxiety disorders, we typically think of three response systems: physiological, cognitive, and behavioral. For example, let's say someone has a fear of dogs and they encounter a scary dog. Their physiological response would be the fight or flight reaction that I mentioned earlier. Their cognitive response might be the thought, "I'm about to be attacked." Their behavioral response is reflected in how they handle the situation, perhaps to run away. You need all three responses for the anxiety to be classified as a disorder.
But the intensity of these disorders can differ?
Sure. A good example is agoraphobia, which many people categorize as the fear of going outside, but it's actually a fear of going places where it's hard to escape. Agoraphobes often have panic attacks when they venture outside. Some agoraphobes anticipate this panic so acutely that they never leave their homes. Others experience the same level of anxiety, but they can still go outside and lead a normal life,
even though they might have panic attacks when they're outside.
Both groups can experience anxiety, but for one group, the anticipation of panic practically immobilizes them, so they can't leave.
Is there anything that helps predict why some people become more agoraphobic than others?
As far as we know, there are two main predictors for agoraphobia. One is gender. Females are more likely to become immobilized than males. The other predictor is employment status. People who have jobs are less likely to become agoraphobic than people who are unemployed. This leads us to conclude that agoraphobia has more to do with socio-cultural circumstances. People who are in situations that allow them to avoid going outside are more likely to become agoraphobic than people who are forced to face the world.
So anxiety is not entirely a medical phenomenon?
Not at all. Like I said, there are physiological, cognitive, and behavioral response systems that get triggered by anxiety. It can be difficult to untangle them all. You can usually treat the physiological symptoms with medication, but if you're not simultaneously addressing the cognitive and behavioral dimensions of the disorder, there's a good chance the medication alone won't work. Most people who treat anxiety disorders understand this and recommend both physiological and cognitive therapies in treating anxiety disorders. But you're absolutely right. You can't treat anxiety as merely a medical condition. It's more complicated than that.
Now you will hear the segment again.
Everyone feels anxious sometimes, but for some people, anxiety can be a debilitating and traumatic disorder. We discussed anxiety with Beth Cargill, head of Berkeley's Center for Mental Health. What is it and how do we treat it? Tom Burnett has the story.
From a clinical standpoint, what is anxiety?
Anxiety is an emotional state we experience in anticipation of an upcoming threat, like a student about to take an important exam. Fear is an immediate fight or flight response to imminent danger.
My understanding is there's some brain science to differentiate between the two.
Yes, there's some differentiation at the neurological level. The amygdala, or the emotional center of the brain, is stimulated when we're afraid. When you're anxious, the cortical areas are activated. These areas of the brain are associated with conscious thought and communication.
So if anxiety is normal, at what point does it become a disorder?
With anxiety disorders, we typically think of three response systems: physiological, cognitive, and behavioral. For example, let's say someone has a fear of dogs and they encounter a scary dog. Their physiological response would be the fight or flight reaction that I mentioned earlier. Their cognitive response might be the thought, I'm about to be attacked. Their behavioral response is reflected in how they handle the situation, perhaps to run away. You need all three responses for the anxiety to be classified as a disorder.
But the intensity of these disorders can differ?
Sure. A good example is agoraphobia, which many people categorize as the fear of going outside, but it's actually a fear of going places where it's hard to escape. Agoraphobes often have panic attacks when they venture outside. Some agoraphobes anticipate this panic so acutely that they never leave their homes. Others experience the same level of anxiety, but they can still go outside and lead a normal life,
even though they might have panic attacks when they're outside.
Both groups can experience anxiety, but for one group, the anticipation of panic practically immobilizes them, so they can't leave.
Is there anything that helps predict why some people become more agoraphobic than others?
As far as we know, there are two main predictors for agoraphobia. One is gender. Females are more likely to become immobilized than males. The other predictor is employment status. People who have jobs are less likely to become agoraphobic than people who are unemployed. This leads us to conclude that agoraphobia has more to do with socio-cultural circumstances. People who are in situations that allow them to avoid going outside are more likely to become agoraphobic than people who are forced to face the world.
So anxiety is not entirely a medical phenomenon.
Not at all. Like I said, there are physiological, cognitive, and behavioral response systems that get triggered by anxiety. It can be difficult to untangle them all. You can usually treat the physiological symptoms with medication. But if you're not simultaneously addressing the cognitive and behavioral dimensions of the disorder, there's a good chance the medication alone won't work. Most people who treat anxiety disorders understand this and recommend both physiological and cognitive therapies in treating anxiety disorders. But you're absolutely right. You can't treat anxiety as merely a medical condition. It's more complicated than that.